I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you information unfiltered, uncensored by the corporate media. Visit RadioMonterey.com to take a look at the shows and the hosts and what they bring you so you can be better informed about the choices you make in your life. In addition, Magic for Life is also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, which we just had a couple of weekends ago at the Monterey Fairground, October 29th and 30th. It was a great time. It was the lead-in to Halloween and Samhain and All Saints Day and All Souls Day and the Day of the Dead. It's the time when the veils between the worlds were thin, and that was a good time to have some fun. So people had a great time. They had a fabulous time and enjoyed themselves. And you can get on the email list of rhodapsychicfair.com to make sure you stay informed about the upcoming events as well as our annual psychic fair at the Monterey Fairgrounds. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has been quite a year, and it's been a fast year. It's been a year of transformation for just about everybody I know. And it was the year when we were expected to graduate from those things we needed to leave behind, to leave ourselves open for those things we needed to go on to. It's been a year of shedding skins and revealing ourselves, becoming more of truly who we are. And this month especially, this month of November, which is a month of magic and miracles and limitless possibilities, is calling to all of us to say, what do you want to bring forward into the new year? You see, our next new year is a year that is all about each of us as an individual. The focus is on you. So if you're grieving as a result of the elections, if you're upset, disenfranchised, disturbed, remember that this year coming forward is all about you. So the question is, for the moment, what do you want in your life that you can control? That bubble that you have management responsibility over, that bubble that you control, that area where you wake up and you know what your thoughts and beliefs are and you can manage them and control them and move forward in a direction that brings you joy, no matter what's going on in the external world around you. Now, I'm not telling you to be uninformed, but I'm telling you to get control. You know, in 1903, James Allen wrote a book called As a Man Thinketh. He took the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So my question for you is, are you living? Are you experiencing, or are you engaged in those things that are closest to your heart? Are you living your passion? Are you sharing your passion? Are you expressing your service and gifts to the world? And if you're not, no matter what you answer to the next question, which is why not, the truth of the answer is because you're not allowing yourself to do it. You don't have to be the greatest singer in the world, but you could be in a choral group singing. You could sing at church if you're a part of a church group. You could sing in choral groups if you're part of a choral group. Or you could just sing all around the house all day long because that's how you feel the joy and the love and the expression of yourself. So really ask yourself why you're not living your passion. Now, every show I like to share from Day by Day with James Allen, where James Allen's words from As a Man Thinketh have been carved up into a little segment for each day of the month. And for the 17th day of the month, he tells us, persist until. Great is the heartfelt joy when after innumerable and apparently unsuccessful attempts, some ingrained fault of character is at last cast out to trouble its erstwhile victim and the world no more. So what it really says is that we work on things and we work on things and we work on things and all of a sudden, it's no longer work. It happens. It flows. And it reminds me of one of my favorite stories, that there was a study done by anthropologists in Africa. And they were studying the habits and patterns of the various tribes, and they focused in also on the rain dance, and they found there was one tribe that had a 100% success rate of every rain dance. And after studying all the tribes and this tribe, they found there was one secret about that tribe's rain dance that made it 100% successful. They never stopped dancing until it rained. So couple that with James Allen, who says, persist until. Great is that joy when after innumerable and apparently unsuccessful attempts, some ingrained fault of character is cast out to trouble you and the world no more. But it's also the same thing of some result that you've been looking for suddenly is there for you. Persist until. And the part that I like to always share every show also comes from the Daily Word that gives us a thought we can just latch on to and kind of anchor a little hook into for a positive thought for each and every day. And if you're not doing something like this for yourself, find a way to do it. Replace some of that negative thought, some of that worry, some of that stress by having a positive anchor each day that you can use as a callback to refocus. And today's thoughts from the Daily Word say, the mighty currents of the divine's healing love flow through me now. Imagine yourself in a position where you're getting angry or annoyed at something, or you don't like what someone just said, and you just say, the mighty current of the divine's healing love flows through me right now. It helps to shift your thought. It helps to shift your pattern, your reaction. And it opens you up to that divine healing love that really is based inside you and not external to you. But all of that leads us into our segment for today. Dr. Arnie Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years, and his passion, however, is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues, and in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco down through Monterey. He's also a distinguished Toastmaster, and in 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. Now, he joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the third Thursday of each month. So let's have a little musical introduction to Dr. Arnie Buss.
The song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound. sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As Solazar said, I am your host, Arnie Buss, for this segment. Speaking of Listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart, and that's particularly relevant in the situation that Solazar was just describing, where you're hearing something that's difficult or uncomfortable, and you know, how do you stay okay with that? And I think, and today, what I'm going to talk about is how you can not only stay okay in that situation, but also how you can actually make the relationship better, because that's what relationships are about. And every relationship has its share of conflict. And the question is not whether it has conflict, but what you do about it. So if you want more information, you can check out my website. It's consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word, consciousawareheart. Or you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. And I do work with individuals, with couples, and we'll be giving some workshops. I'm working right now on a kind of a launch of some new materials, and there'll be more information about that forthcoming. But for now, remember that listening is not just about hearing the words that the other person is saying. It's so much more. It's about engaging that person in a dialogue. And by dialogue, I mean something deeper than just the words. It means decoding the hidden messages that lie beneath the words themselves. Now, in ordinary conversation, there usually isn't much of a need to do anything particularly different. I mean, if you're sitting there just conversing very easily and not getting into any conflict or disagreements, then you don't need anything special. You just kind of talk. There's nothing wrong with that. However, there are times when it becomes more challenging. Unfortunately, we don't seem to learn effective ways of communicating, especially of listening, and that's why I focus so much on listening. Now, today I'm going to talk about the three key pillars that I see as being crucial to building loving and lasting relationships. And when I say loving and lasting relationships, I include all different types of relationships. A platonic friendship that involves, a very positive feelings towards one another, but not necessarily romantic feelings. I mean, that's a lasting relationship, and in a certain sense, it's loving. It's like the philia, the brotherly love. And you don't have to be in Philadelphia to have brotherly love, and you don't have to be a brother even. You can be sisterly love. A paternalistic origins of many of our phrases kind of betray that. But by brotherly love, I mean the kind of non-romantic, platonic relationship. And this applies to that. It applies particularly effectively in romantic, intimate relationships. And that's where so much of this becomes important, because it is in those intimate relationships that your masks come down, your walls tend to come down, and you tend to be a little bit more, quote, yourself. And who is that self? Well, often that self is itself yet another mask, another role, another persona, if you will, that if it's still driven by childhood wounding or earlier wounding, then that's the cause of so much conflict. So my three pillars are self-esteem, unconditional positive regard, and effective listening. And with those three pillars, you can build a loving and lasting relationship with anyone. Now, I'm going to start with an assumption. And my assumption is that if you have a relationship with someone, again, regardless of what that, the nature of that relationship is, my assumption is that everyone has a desire to make that relationship a wonderful one, to make that relationship one that is positive, one that contributes to each individual, one in which the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, that everybody has the desire to do that. Now, when I say that, it's quite possible that many of you may be thinking, well, you don't know my spouse, you don't know my mother, you don't know my father, you don't know my brother, my sister, my mother-in-law, my daughter-in-law, my niece, you don't know this horrible person. Well, for the next 30 minutes or so of this segment, I ask you to take that thought that there's this terrible person, and I want you to put that aside and just go with me for the length of the segment. Put that thought somewhere where you can find it again. I'm not asking you to completely lose that. I'm just asking you to go with me for a little bit and be assured that you can pick it up again when the segment is finished. But for the rest of this segment, just please accept this premise that everybody has the desire to have a wonderful relationship. And let's see where that leads. Let's just try. So the first pillar is self-esteem. Now, this is an interesting concept. The concept in psychology goes back at least to William James, and the premier psychologist of the late 19th century. And the dictionary definition of self-esteem is something like confidence in one's own worth or abilities and self-respect. And that's not quite complete what I mean by self-esteem. Only the first part. My definition, and the definition I'm going to use here in this segment, is that self-esteem is an attitude towards oneself as being inherently worthy, worthwhile, and valuable. An attitude towards oneself as being inherently worthy, worthwhile, and valuable. And this has nothing to do with any accomplishments, any strengths or weaknesses, any skills, lack of skills, any talent. This is simply by being human, you are valuable and worthwhile. Self-esteem is being 100% okay with oneself, regardless of any mistakes you've made, regardless of any, quote, sins you may have committed. Self-esteem is recognizing that your humanity is 100% worthy and valuable. Now, there are many roadblocks to self-esteem, and very few of us can achieve that ideal. The biggest roadblock that I've found is the inner critic or the judge inside. That's the voice inside of you that criticizes and judges you harshly whenever you've made a mistake. If you think about it, you can imagine what that voice is. It creates these inner thoughts like, oh, if I messed up, I'm no good, or I'm not good enough, I'm terrible. Oh, that was awful. When your actions fall short of your expectations of yourself, the inner critic sort of beats you up and tells you that you're terrible, or even worse. It can lead to depression, anxiety. I mean, all these, I'm convinced that so many of these debilitating issues all stem back to this inner critic. Now, if you do, another roadblock to self-esteem is depending on your esteem for what others think of you. And that's where I differ a little bit from a lot of the standard ways of looking at it. Because if somebody thinks badly of you, that impacts you only if you take that in. And taking it in means having it trigger your inner critic. Now, if you've ever been a parent, surely at some point your small child was upset when you had them do something that they needed to do and they didn't want to do, like eat their vegetables before having dessert or go to bed on time when they wanted to stay up. And that they might have said, oh, you're a terrible parent, or I hate you. Does that trigger you? I mean, surely on the surface of it, to hear the child that you love say that they hate you, if that triggers you, that only means that your inner critic is also saying, oh, I'm a terrible parent. I'm awful to try to do this to my child. But if you know that you're doing the best for your child, and they say that, then you say, well, you know, they're just expressing they're being upset that they're being made to do something that they don't want to do. So how you react depends on whether your inner critic gets triggered. And most parents, you know, don't get hooked by that. Most parents. Now, critics of the self-esteem phenomenon or movement have I think in some cases legitimately criticized it as leading to inflated egos, leading to narcissism. And, you know, now narcissism is defined as extreme selfishness with a grandiose view of one's own talents and a craving for admiration. That's one definition. Now, do you see the difference between self-esteem and narcissism? See, self-esteem has nothing to do with your talents or who's admiring you or who's not admiring you. Self-esteem is unaffected by admiration or criticism. Now, it always feels good to hear positive feedback, but that doesn't affect the inherent worthiness of you as a human being. Just that doesn't make you a more worthy human being any more than a criticism makes you a less worthy human being. Now, there's even a disorder, a narcissistic personality disorder. And now, a personality disorder... narcissistic personality disorder is a personality disorder in which the individual has a distorted self-image, unstable and intense emotions, is overly preoccupied with vanity, prestige, power, and personal adequacy, lacks empathy, and has an exaggerated sense of superiority. Again, that's not what self-esteem is about. One thing I've noticed is that people who talk about narcissistic personality disorder, it's always the other person who has it. It's hard to look in the mirror and see one's own tendencies that way. Seeing the other person as having a disorder is not a recipe for a loving and lasting relationship. Now, to return to self-esteem, Carl Rogers has the phrase unconditional positive regard that I'll talk a little bit more in a moment. But one way to look at it, and you think unconditional positive regard. Self-esteem is having unconditional positive regard for yourself. It doesn't mean that your actions and words are perfect, and it doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. It doesn't give you any license to abuse or harm anyone. Having unconditional positive regard for yourself doesn't mean that you have an attitude that that you deserve things that, you know, just because you are. It doesn't mean having an attitude that you are worthy, regardless of your talents, your accomplishments, or your status. Now, continuing with this concept, unconditional positive regard, as it's usually applied, is applying it to another person. In other words, having unconditional positive regard for that other person. And that's the second leg of building a loving and lasting relationship, is having unconditional positive regard for that other person. And another way to put it is it means having an attitude of always seeing that person as being okay, regardless of what they say or do, regardless of what they think or feel, seeing them as okay, regardless of any of that. Now, unconditional positive regard is not agreeing with everything, or it's not even agreeing with anything that the other person is saying. It's not accepting everything that they do is okay, or even anything they do is okay. It's not accepting doing. And it's not even liking or loving that person, although if you have a person that you don't like or love, then why are you in a relationship with them? But regardless, you can still have unconditional positive regard for someone with whom you're not in a relationship that you don't even like. They are still a human being. And as a human being, deserve to be seen as worthy and inherently valuable. Now, self-esteem and positive regard are related in that you can only have as much regard for the other person as you have for yourself. In other words, your regard for another person is limited by your regard for yourself. That's so important. I want to say it again. Your regard for another human being is limited by the regard you have for yourself. Because I can't see you any better than I see myself. I can't see you with more humanity than I see myself. I mean, in a way, that's kind of a hard upper limit on the amount that I can really do. And as human beings, we're all imperfect in this. And I don't claim to be anything like a saint in that regard. But that the fact that I cannot 100% of the time see everyone else with unconditional positive regard does not take away from my worthiness. And it certainly doesn't take away from theirs. That unconditional positive regard, I see very much similar to Martin Buber's I-Thou concept. And he has this wonderful book called I and Thou. It's very dense reading, so I don't necessarily recommend it for the faint of heart. But I would summarize as he contrasts the I and thou with the I and it. And what he means by that is that I and thou means that two human beings are in relationship. Whereas I and it means I see you as an it, as a thing. So I, thou, an unconditional positive regard, is seeing the other person as fully human being, not as an object. And seeing all human beings as inherently worthy and valuable. Again, I think one has to be an enlightened saint or an enlightened master to be that 24/7, 100% of the time. But it's a worthy goal to aspire to. And in this context, you are in a relationship with another person. And again, just think of an intimate relationship with another person, someone who is very important to you, and the relationship is important to you, and yet there is conflict. Now, my take on unconditional positive regard is kind of a paraphrase of the Golden Rule. Now, you've all heard the Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And in one form or another, that exists in almost all spiritual traditions. I don't necessarily agree with it because they may have completely different tastes than you. So if I do unto you as I want you to do unto me, you may want something completely different than I want. So I don't know that. I mean, the Golden Rule is it's better than beating each other up or yelling at each other, but the Golden Rule emphasizes doing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. My Golden Rule emphasizes the attitude. So I would rephrase it to be unto others as you would have them be unto you. In other words, be unto them by seeing them with unconditional positive regard, because you would have them see you as having with unconditional positive regard. Be unto others as you would have them be unto you. Now, effective listening is the third leg in this. And this is where all of this gets put into action. And the reason why I emphasize listening is that that's really where things tend to go off the rails. When you're hearing something from the other person, again, the context of this is that you're in a relationship with someone, and you can think of an intimate relationship or just a friendship, but you're hearing something from the other person that's uncomfortable, or it's something that you disagree with. It might be a criticism of you, or just a general complaint. It might be a criticism of another person, or just an expression of some difficult negative feelings. And as I've talked about in previous segments, that the most effective way to respond to that is to track the person. And I've explained some of the mechanisms of tracking in my previous segments, and I'm going to talk much more about tracking and go more deeply into that in future segments. But for now, just know that there is this approach called tracking, which involves decoding that hidden message. But in the context of this segment, I want to talk about how self-esteem and unconditional positive regard facilitate effective listening, that is tracking. Because, see, if you see tracking can be seen as a set of techniques, you know, so you felt that this was not okay, or so this was, so you'd like to see something different. Okay, so that, and there are certain phrases that turn out to be effective, but if you see tracking as a technique, then you won't get the full benefit of it. And in fact, the most important part of tracking is the attitude that you bring to the tracking, not so much in the words. Now, everything else being equal, having a more effective phrasing is always a little bit better, but given the choice of the two, it's always better, more effective, to have an attitude that facilitates effective communication than to have the right words. And in fact, you can have exactly the right words, but if you have an attitude of not making the other person okay or not seeing yourself as okay, then it's almost guaranteed to go off the rails. Now, a key element of tracking is to stay conscious and responsive rather than unconscious and reactive. So first, to stay conscious requires self-esteem, especially if you're hearing something that's difficult and challenging. Being reactive means having that your self-esteem has been compromised. That is, you're seeing yourself as not okay. To stay conscious and responsive means that you are being with your self-esteem, being with yourself as worthy and valuable, even in the face of hearing something uncomfortable. But the second part requires unconditional positive regard. In other words, the point of effective listening is to hear and validate that coded message, that message that lies beneath the words. And it first requires accepting that they do have a legitimate message, even if it's hidden beneath words, even if it's hidden beneath criticism. And as a corollary to the unconditional positive regard, they also have an unconditional right to what they're thinking and what they're feeling, regardless of whether you agree or not. So that unconditional right to what they think and feel is a consequence of the unconditional regard that you have for them. And this is, again, to reiterate, especially important when you're hearing criticism. Self-esteem means that you are okay, regardless of whether they're unhappy with you or not. Unconditional positive regard means that they are okay, even if they're saying something that you don't like. Together, they create an attitude that recognizes that any criticism that you hear is about the pain of the one expressing it. It's never about you. It's like the second agreement. Don't take anything personally. Okay, that's a wonderful and deep spiritual concept. but to put it into action, in my experience, requires all of these other attitudes. In other words, how can I not take it personally? Well, first, by having strong self-esteem, by having seeing myself as being worthy and okay. How can I not take it personally when they're criticizing? By seeing them as okay. As A Course in Miracles puts it another way, A Course in Miracles says, all attack is a call for help. All attack is a call for help. Meaning that the one who's attacking is in pain or distress or some kind of negative place. If someone is criticizing, they're unconscious and reactive. Their self-esteem has been compromised. But just because their self-esteem has been compromised does not mean that yours must also be compromised. In other words, just because they're unhappy, and even if they have a legitimate complaint, that doesn't mean that you're not okay, and it doesn't mean that they're not okay. What tracking does is tracking in this situation, in the situation of hearing criticism, responding to criticism instead of reacting to criticism, is getting in touch with that pain. So if all attack is a call for help, then tracking is the help. Effective listening via tracking means that you can help get beneath what the surface communication is, that is the attack, and getting to the core, getting to the pain, getting to the distress that they're feeling. And by doing that, you're first of all acknowledging their, you're explicitly acknowledging through your actions your unconditional positive regard for them. And by maintaining your own self-esteem in that process, you are maintaining your own boundaries, and you're also communicating how okay you are with yourself and how you expect to be seen, how you want to have them be unto you as you are being unto them. So just because they're unconscious and reactive doesn't mean that you have to be unconscious and reactive. And in fact, if you react to their reaction, then you're both unconscious. One analogy I've heard from other places is in an aircraft where you have a pilot and a co-pilot. So why do you need two people to fly a plane? Well, the pilot is the one flying the plane. But if something happens to the pilot, then the co-pilot has to take over. So if somebody is unconscious, it's like the pilot literally going unconscious, and the co-pilot has to take over and bring the pilot back to consciousness. But if the co-pilot also goes unconscious, then what happens to the plane? It crashes. So using these three legs of self-esteem, of unconditional positive regard, and effective listening through tracking is the way that you as co-pilot can bring that pilot back into consciousness, or less metaphorically. Whenever the person with whom you're in a relationship with is expressing something that's uncomfortable, you know, whether it's about you or someone else or just a general complaint, then the most loving thing you can do for the relationship is to really hear them deeply, to track them, to really get to the core of what they've been expressing. Now, earlier, I mentioned you may have had the thought that when I said that everyone wants to have a wonderful relationship, and you may have been thinking, you don't know my, you know, whomever. And I asked you to put that aside for the second. And now, if you wish, you may now pick that thought up again. Although it's my hope that maybe you'll leave it where it is and go on without it, because you don't really need it. But if you wish, find where it is and pick it up again. And just to recap, I've talked about the three pillars of building loving and lasting relationships of self-esteem, unconditional positive regard, and effective listening. And you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I have been your host, Arnie Buss. I thank you so much for joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every third Thursday at 5, a little after 5, right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about effective listening and more on the workshops coming up or possible individual or couples facilitation, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's consciousawareheart.com, all one word. You can visit my webpage at consciousawareheart.com. I'm on Facebook at AwareHeart, one word. And I'm on Twitter at Effect5Com. That's Effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. Although I haven't been Twittering much lately. I'm not sure how much I like Twitter that much. But regardless, I have that. Maybe I'll start powering that up again. But until next time, remember, listen from your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside. Someone I thought had died so long ago.
That was Dr. Arnie Buss with Speaking of Listening. As he mentioned, third Thursday of each month, you can hear him right here on Good Vibrations Radio. And you can also go to consciousawareheart.com to find out more about his work and his offerings and even the workshops as they become available. So send him an email, get on his email list so you can be informed about what's coming up and not miss anything. The important part about speaking with listening is it's not a one-time listen opportunity. It's very important that you get the concepts and you keep hearing the different ways that they're applied as Dr. Buss shares those. So I encourage you to go to his website, listen to the podcast, or go to the Good Vibrations Radio podcast site and listen to them and get the full flavor of the whole journey of applying these skills. Remember, listening or communication, I'm going to change this differently. I'll leave the listening to Dr. Buss, but communication is about rapport. It's not about what you say. It's about connection. And speaking of listening, shares with us how to create a better connection with other people by listening in an effective way and responding in an effective way because we want to. Trust me, if you don't want to, nothing ever works. Communication is about wanting that connection with the other person so that you're open to hear what they're saying and understand what they're saying. I want to share something from Albert Camus because we're still in the midst of all this period of grief and shock and people trying to figure out what they're going to do. And as I said on Tuesday's show, I doubt that anyone who voted for Donald Trump listens to this show. But if you did, I ask you to go inside and decide what you really were voting for. But for the rest of us who are still in shock over what we've chosen for this country, the direction, the policies, the statements, the racism, the misogyny, the bigotry, the anti-Semitism, the overt issues of a Muslim registry, deporting 3 million people, privatizing Social Security and Medicare, the breakdown of the social support network and structure. As we go into Thanksgiving weekend next week, some people may say, what do I have to give thanks for? You have to give thanks for the other people in this world to whom we connect. Because regardless of who voted for whom, it's important that we still connect as human beings. And I want to share this quote from Albert Camus. He said, in the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. And that makes me happy, for it says that no matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me there's something stronger, something better, pushing right back. On Tuesday at the farmer's market where I have a booth in Monterey, a gentleman came up and asked me, what do you do? And I was sharing some of what I do. He shared with me that he, coming from India, reads the Upanishads every day. And they're a set of writings. But there's a core element to each of these. They're from the Vedic tradition. And there's a set of writings, and he reads every day a different verse, a different chapter. But the one core thing, and it's not quite the way he expressed it, is that the Upanishad reminds us that the God we seek is inside us. Brahma lives inside us. Our Buddha is inside us. Our God is inside us. Our divine is inside us. So if you're questioning what you can give thanks for, you can give thanks for the fact that you are a divine being with a divine light. And no matter what darkness is presented in the world around us, we can present our light and our being. And that's very important for all the rest of us. For as each of us sees someone else's light, we'll have the courage to shine our own light. But don't wait for someone else to shine their light first. Be willing to shine your light. Be the divine being you are. Live through the sense of kindness. Live through the sense of support. Live through the sense of empathy. Live through the sense of being a part of the whole and not apart from the whole. Remember, in the midst of hate, within you, there is an invincible love. In the midst of tears, within you, there is an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, within you, there is an invincible calm. And in the midst of winter, within you, there is an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes back against you, there's something stronger within you, always pushing back. Shine your light. A couple of notes for this coming weekend. We've been working off the energy of this fabulous full super moon in Taurus that we had on Monday morning. And this coming Saturday at 3:03 p.m., Venus in Capricorn will sextile Neptune in Pisces. Now, this is a positive arrangement. Well, we have to remember that this is a perfect day on Saturday to surround yourself with all things beautiful and calming. Give yourself time, plan it. If you have a runaround day or a busy day with family or plan some time where it's just you surrounding yourself with beauty and calmness. Maybe it's taking some private time to listen to some music, some private time to watch a particular movie, some private time to read a particular book, some private time to be in nature. Take some time to get into that perfect state of centered and calm for yourself. being out in nature is the best way if the weather permits. And we've been having some beautiful weather here on the Central Coast. But it's a good day. Allow it to be a good day. Wake up knowing it's a good day. And keep that thought throughout the day. Also on that day, at 8:38 p.m., Neptune will go direct in the sign of Pisces. Now, Neptune, of course, is our sign. It's one of the outer planets. It's a sign about our collective unconsciousness and healing and dreams and intuition. And it rules Pisces, which is also that very sensitive, intuitive sign. But he's been retrograde since June. And Neptune is more subtle because it's one of the outer planets. It moves slower. So when it shifts, either going into a retrograde or going out of a retrograde, there's no sudden changes that come up. It's all no sudden changes, but there are subtle changes. And so it's going to usher in changes for all of us as it goes direct. The change will be long and drawn out and not easily predicted. So don't say, this is the change I'm going to get with my Neptune. So instead of sudden endings, it's more like edging your way slowly, or like putting your toes into the water as you go into it very slow. You put a toe in, then you put the toe in from the other foot. You stand there a little bit, and then maybe you inch a little forward. Before you know it, you're fully in, but it's an inch at a time. Expect to release things from your life, predominantly things that you've been planning to release or working on releasing anyway, but you'll release them in the next several months. And also, you'll release them gracefully. It won't be painful. It won't be harsh, and it won't be sudden. So this is good as Neptune goes direct in Pisces. And as I said, it rules Pisces. So it's right at home, and it's really going to be working its magic on all of us. And because it affects the unconscious, pay close attention to your dreams. It's very, very important. And on Monday, the sun will enter Sagittarius at 1:22 p.m. Pacific, and we've been in Scorpio, and Scorpio is that deep, undercurrent, emotional, really gets into, you know, Scorpio essentially is our underworld, it's our Hades, it's those deep levels of emotions and desires and intentions that we don't always consciously choose to identify and recognize, but it works on us in a very deep, passionate way. Sagittarius is more just the opposite. As a matter of fact, they could be the mass of comedy and tragedy. It turns just the opposite because it doesn't care much about what's happened in the past. It doesn't care about details. It makes all its plans based on what it wants tomorrow. So Sagittarius is not a very good mindful sign of being in the present, but it's going to at least focus us into what we want tomorrow. So be careful what you say, because there'll be a tendency to say things very quickly. Being a fire sign, Sagittarius is going to also infuse us with quick thoughts, quick intentions, quick shifts. We'll be moving back and forth. And it will cause us, though, to be more social. And as we go into the holiday season, regardless of which holidays you celebrate, as we go into that season, there tends to be a settling down or a gentle energy that usually comes out. So this is a good time to allow yourself to feel that social energy, be confident in going out and being around, but be careful about big decisions, especially because it's not a detail-oriented sign. You're going to ignore the nuts and bolts. So when you start making the big decisions when the sun is in Sagittarius, we're going to miss something. So avoid the big decisions. If you're going to get involved in buying a car at the end of the year and you've already done the research and work, then buy it. But if you're just going to suddenly decide to do it, might not be a good time unless you can force yourself to really go over the details of what you're doing. That's what's coming forward for all of us. A couple of reminders all the time, every day. Always practice your gratitude. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. That was shared through Reverend Charlotte Tinker, the channel for Kuan Yin, who brought it through and said, share that gratitude mantra with yourself every day, morning and evening and throughout the course of the day. Also, Don't forget your Ho'oponopono. When you feel triggered, when you feel charged, or even as Dr. Buss was talking about, when we feel those childhood or emotional wounds, which are often triggered by Chiron, when you feel all that going on, go into Ho'oponopono. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. As we go forward to shine our lights and be the divine beings that we are here to offer our service in the world and to keep the world notified and aware of the direction where we truly want to go, not the backward momentum that we're seeing brought forward into our face around us. As we go forward to shine those lights and move the world forward in connection and collection, it's always important to release our triggers and our charges. It's always important to be grateful for what we have and what we do. And it's always important to remember you are invincible inside. Bring your invincibility out and push the darkness back. As we close tonight's show, I'll remind you that we'll be back live on Tuesday with Go With The Flow with Kirilani. This show will replay Friday evening, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific. Tuesday show and tonight's show will also play 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday evening right here on Radio Monterey. So as we close, I'm going to close out with the beautiful Hallelujah from the a cappella group Pentatonix. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings. Namaste.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. The baffled king composing Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to the kitchen chair, she broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew. Hallelujah.